So the shiur tonight is titled Megillas Esther, the Ingredients of Geula. So just to preface the shiur, this is the first year that I'm leaning Megillas Esther. And after leaning it, going through the whole thing, some of the psukim just stuck out at me. And they kind of answered a question that's always bothered me based on a Gemara that I've done many years ago. So I just wanted to share some of the insights that I've gained just from reading all the psukim, because sometimes you focus on one parak or another parak, but when you do the whole Megillah, you can kind of see a broader theme. So I wanted to share some of those insights. So the Gemara that I'm referring to is Gemara Megillah Daf Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara is taking up the question of which Adar, when there's a leap year and you have an extra Adar, which Adar is the one that you're supposed to read Megillah and celebrate Purim in? So there's a machlokas, there's a question whether Adar is really the first one or the second one. And we'll just take up the Gemara from that point. It says, Amar of Chia bar Avin, Amar of Yochanan, Hilchisa, Karaban Shimon ben Gamliel, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Yossi. So the halacha is that the way we hold is the second Adar is the true Adar, is the Adar that we celebrate Purim in. So Amar of Yochanan, Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu, B'chol Shana V'shana. So they both are Doresh, this Pasuk, where it says B'chol Shana V'shana, every year and year. So Purim should be kept consistently amongst years. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Savar, B'chol Shana V'shana, Ma Kol Shana V'shana, Adar HaSamach L'Shvat, Af Kan Adar HaSamach L'Shvat. So one reason, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, is that since every year Adar falls out right after Shvat, so when you have two Adars, the Adar that's closer to Shvat is the one that you celebrate Purim in. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Sawar B'chol Shana V'shana, Ma Kol Shana V'shana Adar Samach L'Nisan, Af Kan Adar HaSamach L'Nisan. So he uses the same type of logic, and he says in general, it's always the Adar that precedes Nisan, so that would be the second Adar. So it's kind of difficult to understand the Machlokas, and I'm not going to focus the shiur on the Machlokas, unfortunately. So it's something to think about on your own on Purim. But we'll get to this point. Bishlamar, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Mistavar Taima, De'in Mavir Nala Mitzvos. So Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, his reasoning makes sense as to why it's the first Adar. And the reason is that when you have an opportunity to do mitzvos, you're not supposed to pass up the opportunity, and you're supposed to do the take the opportunity and do the mitzvah as soon as possible. So what does Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel hold? Elo Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, my Taima. So Amar Rabbi Tevi, Taima de Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Mismach Geula le Geula Adif. So his reasoning is that it's better to connect one Geula to another Geula. And what is that referring to? So if you look at Rashi, the two sides are Ein Ma'avirin, Mishaba Liyadi Akdim Lasos. When a mitzvah comes to your hands, you have to immediately do it. Dehachi tanya b'mechilto shmartem etzam mitzvos. It's imbasa mitzvah liyadcha al tach mitzena. So they learn out of drasha from ushmartem etzam matzos, the idea of matzah shmura, and they learn the word matzos to be mitzvos, that you're supposed to do a mitzvah as soon as possible, and you shouldn't let it rise like the same way you would with chametz. You shouldn't leave it alone, but you should do it right away. And the other opinion is geula legula purim lepesach. So it's better to connect the Geula of Purim to the Geula of Pesach. So the question is why? You know, why is it better to connect the Geula of Purim to Pesach? Is it just because they have the same concepts, the same words? But even so, what would be the benefit of connecting Geula to Geula? So that was a question that I was thinking about in coming up with the shiur, and something that just popped out of me when I was reading through Megillas Esther. So we'll go through some of the features and the psukim that I found pretty relevant to this concept of Geula LeGeula, and then we'll come back and answer that question, I think, in a more analytical manner. So one of the psukim that stuck out to me was Pasuk in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and it says, this is all after the Jews won, and they were victorious, and Haman was destroyed. It says, I won't lane it for you, don't worry, because you'll hear enough of it tomorrow night and on Purim itself. But it says, V'chol medinah minyah v'chol ir v'ir, mekom asher dvar melech v'daso magia, simcha v'sason layudim mishtev yom tov v'rabim me'amei arts misyahadim, ki nafal pachad ayudim aleihem. So in every single state in the kingdom of Achashverosh, in every city, wherever the decree came out that the Jews could defend themselves and fight back against anybody who attacked them, so there's a great simcha great happiness. To the Jews, they made a big party and a Yom Tov. And a lot of the non-Jews became Jewish. They converted to Judaism. And it says the reason is because the Pachad HaYehudim fell upon them. The fear of the Jews had fallen upon them. So that's an interesting idea, that a lot of people converted. Because if you look at Rashi, source number 5, we'll just skip source number 4, we'll come back to it. Source number 5, he says, Misyahadim Misgayrim. So after the Jews were successful, so a lot of the non-Jews in the kingdom of Ahasuerus wanted to be Jewish. So usually we tell people that it's not a great thing. Don't become Jewish because we're a persecuted nation. But after the success of the Jews, a lot of the non-Jews became Jewish. So let's look at the Alshech in source number 4. What exactly is going on here, and how do we read the Pasuk of Kinafal Pachad Yudim Aleihem? So what does that mean? So Me'amei Aretz Misyadim Umamirim Dasam. So a lot of the non-Jews, they just gave up their religion and they became Jewish once they saw this huge party that the Jews were making. Im heyos shezulas hagzera shahaisa b'yom moed, gam me'az hayu mukim uredufim min ha'amim. So aside from the decree that the Jews should be destroyed, they were always persecuted, the Jews, in Persia. So it wasn't just that this one instance where Haman had decreed, or based on the poor, that the Jews should be destroyed. That wasn't the only time there was anti-Semitism there. Kemosha Amruzal, there's a medrash that says, Ala ir shusha navocha, shaya aparsi maka ish ivri b'chol makom, asher yim ta'enu ve'omer lo, machar ehrog oscha v'nota mamoncha, ve'alkol zed dafku b'malcham uv'tarasam. So even up to that point, the Persians, especially in Shushan, but all over, were just threatening the Jews. And the Jews were always in a situation where they were beat up on by the non-Jews. Lo ke'ela chelek, and yet the Jews still kept the Torah, and they still held of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo ke'ela chelek, ela goya aretz, ki'im b'chol medina medina. So the non-Jews, they were quick to give up their religion, so they weren't as convinced and committed to their religions. Shal hayos le'udim mishtev yom tov mibli sh'yetzer le'goy ha'niskar, hayu rabim me'amei aretz misyadim. So when they saw that the Jews were partying and they didn't have any obstruction from the goyim, so a lot of the non-Jews became Jewish. Al ki b'shiv al tase nafal pachtam ala amim mibolti hayos aleihem gzeras mavis rak b'mvakshe ra'asam bilvad. So when it says nafal pachtam ala amim, it's referring to those who wanted to hurt the Jews. So now they were fearful of the Jews. And once the regular non-Jews, who were, I guess, not anti-Semitic, but once they saw that the Jews had this fear upon those who wanted to hurt them, and they were no longer mukim and redufim, they were no longer beaten on, and they weren't terrorized. So now other non-Jews wanted to join the Jewish people. So basically, the Megillah is telling us, just to summarize, that when the Jews were successful, it didn't just make them successful in this one instance, but it also pulled away some of the anti-Semitism against the Jews. And once that happened, now the Jewish people became more attractive to non-Jews, to those who didn't have this antagonistic attitude towards the Jews. So one result of Megillas Esther is that non-Jews were drawn into the Jewish people, and the Jewish people became a source of glamour to the non-Jews. The non-Jews wanted to be a part of us. They wanted to be part of the nation. So what's interesting is that I saw that there's an interesting parallel by Mitzrayim. And it's actually brought out in the Medrash, although I saw this before that I saw the Medrash, but it makes sense. So if you look in the Medrash in source number 6, it says, So, okay, you're not allowed to have a eulogy on Purim. Mishta Melamed Shasur and Betinus, you're not allowed to fast. The Yom Tov Kiblu Alehem, they accepted a Yom Tov on them. Shneamar Lasos Esom Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. She Yom Tov Hu Aser Basios Malacha. Aval Kol Makom Shenagu Shelo Lasos Malacha Aser. So some places accepted not to do any Malacha, and it's Aser do Malacha where they accepted not to do it. V'Ravim Me'am Ha'aretz Misyadim Kiderach Shneamar B'Mitzrayim V'Gam Erev Rav Allah Itam. So it also says in Mitzrayim that the Erev Rav, so these non-Jews in Mitzrayim, they decided to join the Jews after the Makos and when the Jews left. And also, La'asid Lavo Ksiv Asher Yachziku Asaran Hashem. And so too, when the Jews in the future, in Geula Asida, the redemption in the future, in the times of Mashiach, so too, there's a pasuk in Zechariah that alludes to the idea that the non-Jews will be attracted to the Jewish nation. So let's look at those psukim inside, but we see a theme here, right? I think so. So let's look in inside. In Parshas Bo, in it's pasuk Lam and Ches, I think it's Parak Yud Beis, not sure. V'gam erev rav aloyitam mitzonu vakar mekne kaved me'od. So when the Jews left Mitzrayim, as they were leaving, the Erev Rav decided to join them, and they came with them out into the desert and to Sinai. Erev Rav, Rashi says, Taroves Umos Shelgerim. So it's a bunch of, a mixture of all these converts. So we see that just like by Purim, after the Nisim occurred and the Jews were successful, other non-Jews wanted to join with them. So too by Mitzrayim, the first Geula, where the non-Jews wanted to join the Jews because of their success, and they were able to view the Jewish people in a more objective manner. Although, just to point out, Moshe was criticized for allowing the Erev Rav to join the Jews because they really didn't give up their religions fully. But nevertheless, the point is that when the Jews were successful and the Nisim occurred, one of the outgrowths of that was that the non-Jews wanted to be with the Jews. So everything was nafochu. Finally, the Jewish people are the ones that others want to be like instead of the opposite. And it's the same thing in the future. In number 9, Zechariah, Komar Shem Tzvakos, Bayamim Ahema, Asher Yachziku Asara Nashim Mikol Lishonos Agoyim, Vehechaziku Bechnaf Ish Yehudi Leimor, Neelcha Imachem, Ki Shamanu Elokim Imachem. So in the times in the future, when Mashiach comes, 10 people from all different nations, with all different lashons, languages, excuse me, they're going to grab onto each Jew's coat, and they're going to say, bring us with you, because we know that Hashem, and we heard that Hashem is with you. So it's the same thing in Geula Asida, look in Metsudas Sion, source number 10, Yachziku Inyan Achiza, Kamo Vayechzach Bechnaf Me'ilo. So it's like the case with Shmuel, when he grabbed, and Shaul, when I think Shaul grabbed onto his Shmuel's coat. Lishonos Agoyim, Rotzen Lomar, Akum, Bale, Lishonos Defrados. So a bunch of different non-Jews. Bechnaf, Hushulei Abeged. So in the future, these non-Jews are going to grab onto the Jews' coats and say, bring us with you, please, take us with you, because we know that Hashem is with you. Yehudi, Kol Yisrael Nikra'im, B'Shem Yehudim, Lefisham Lucha, Hayam, Meshevet Yehuda, V'chein Tiyel Asid. So all Jews are called Yehudim because the kingdom of the Jews is tied to Yehuda, and therefore we take on the name of Yehudi. Okay, so the first idea that I just wanted to express, and of course this will all relate back to the original question of Geula la Geula, is that we see there's a relationship between all the Geulas in the idea that an outgrowth or a part of the process of Geula is such that whatever the stigma is of the Jew and the anti-Semitism of the Jew that exists goes away to the point where people can see the Jews for what they are, a great nation, the chosen nation, and they want to join along. So they're able to, there's a Gemara that says that from Sinai comes Sina. So really all the non-Jews realize that the Jewish people are the chosen people, but it manifests itself as a hatred, as an anti-Semitism. But Geula, the process of Geula makes it that non-Jews can now see the Jews for what they are, and instead of translating or sublimating that into anger because they can't really be like the Jews, they try to be like the Jews and they come join the Jews. So the first ingredient of Geula, so going back to the title here, is the concept that whenever there's a Geula, there's always an idea that the perception of non-Jews of the Jew fundamentally changes, and the non-Jew now wants to become like the Jew. And we see that expressed in Megillas Esther. We also see that in Mitzrayim. And the Medrash points out that La'asid Lava will see the same thing. So that's ingredient number one. So if we're making a soup here, we'll put ingredient number one in, which is the concept that whenever there's Geula, there's always the concept of non-Jews wanting to be Jewish finally and understanding or seeing the Jew for what they are. Which is the Ama Nifchar and the reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first ingredient of Geula, and that's something that popped out at me when I was doing the Megillah. So let's keep going here. There's another set of psukim that I was thinking about when I went through, and I was thinking, wow, this is too similar to Mitzrayim. There's some really real strong similarities here in the Psukim and the way that they're stated to the idea of Mitzrayim. So let's look at Esther Perek Tes Pasuk Gimel. So it says over there, "V'chol asarei amedinos v'harashtar panim v'hapachos v'osiam locha asher lamelech min asim es ha'yudim hinafal parchad Mordechai aleihem." So all the officers and those who worked for the king and did the work of the king in other nations and other states, they gave kavod to the Jews. They showed reverence to the Jews because Mordechai's fear, the fear of Mordechai, had fallen upon them. Ki gadol Mordechai beveis hamelech v'shamo holeich v'chol minidos ki ish Mordechai holeich v'gadol. So one of the byproducts of the geula was that Mordechai became this great individual, and his fame had, he was famous, and his fame had gone out and was spread all over the Medinos of Achashverosh because he was this great individual. So we see that another aspect of Geula, the second ingredient, is the concept that, or we see it expressed in Mordechai, that Mordechai became this great individual, and his greatness was now spread, and he was looked at as this incredible individual. So the Malbim has an interesting concept here that he explains about that. He says in source number 12, Ki gadol yesh sarim ham yuchadim lahanhagas beis hamelech. So he explains the pasuk, and he says that there are some people who are just working in the White House, for example, and their jobs are to work to make sure that the White House runs smoothly, and that would be like the butlers in the White House, or even those who work in the White House who are higher up, like the chief of staff, for example. And then there are those who are in charge of the states, like the governors. And then there are also some that are generals, and they're in the army, and their job is to conquer. The Hasar Ma'ela im Atzlichim Heim Holchem Ugdolim Tamid Kol Och Yirbu Lichbosh Medinos Vilasus Chayel. And these types of officers, as they're successful, they keep getting greater and greater, and their fame gets greater. As long as they continue to conquer lands and become soldiers and famous soldiers, so their fame and their greatness spreads all over the world. Omer, so the pasuk saying, Ki Mordechai haya kol el shlosha hamisros ha'ele. So Mordechai was a combination of these three officers. Ki haya gadol beveis hamelech atmo v'rav beso. So Mordechai ran the king's household. V'shamo holech b'chol medinos, ki haya mishnah l'melech l'hanega medinos. He also was kind of in charge of running the other states. Ki ha'ish Mordechai holech v'gadol al yedei she'echnia medinos rabos tachas malchus achashverosh. And he was also considered this great warrior because he was able to make sure that all the states were underneath the strong fist of Achashverosh. So Mordechai had attained the height of greatness, except for Achashverosh. He was the height of greatness in the Persian kingdom, and he had all these features. And that was one of the outgrowths, the results of the Geula. And he was, not only did he run the kingdom, but he also ran the other states, and he was like a great warrior in the sense that he kept everybody under the strong fist of Achashverosh. So the reason why this popped out at me is because there's a pasuk that's very similar by Mitzrayim and by Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you look at 13, it says, "Va'yitein Hashem eschena on b'nei Mitzrayim, gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od b'eretz Mitzrayim, b'nei avdei faro u'v'nei ha'am." So when the Jews were leaving, they were commanded to take all the goodies, the gold and the silver and the dresses and the clothing from the Mitzrayim. And that was one of the reasons for Choshech, that the Jews should be able to go in there and check out what they had and look in their safes and everything. And then when they were about to leave, they went in there and they took all the stuff out. So it says that the Jews had this favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. So the Mitzrayim, they couldn't say no to the Jews. The Jews would go to their house and say, you know, I want that gold watch over there. And the Mitzrayim, they had to give in. And also, in addition to that, Moshe became this great leader. And he was viewed as a great man amongst the Mitzrayim, Be'nei Abdei Faro, amongst Paro, and also the Am. So we see again in Geula that another feature of Geula is that the leader, the one who leads the Jewish people in that time of Geula, becomes well-known, famous, they become this incredible role model for the whole nation, not just the Jews. Look in source number 14. Vayitein Hashem Hizkina Am B'nei Mitzrayim. V'lo hayu panim lemitzriyim limno Yisrael kela v'simosov. So the Mitzrayim, they couldn't really stop from giving the Jews their stuff. So the Jews came and they're like, take my stuff. Gama ish Moshe gadol me'od b'aretz Mitzrayim b'nei avdei Faro v'nei am. Shayu kulo mechabdin oso b'yoser. Everyone respected Moshe to the utmost. Gam l'rabos is Aaron. And even Aaron got a little bit of a crumb there. Shaya gam hu mechubad be'eneyam erova osos v'amovsim v'shnimtsu divrayim amitiyim. So also Aaron was respected. But the main idea in the pasuk is Moshe, that Moshe was the greatest. He was looked at amongst the Am and amongst Paro as being this great individual. So the second aspect of Geula and similarities in the Psukim is the concept that the person who leads the Geula charge, like Mordechai and Moshe, is the one to become great amongst the other nations. And presumably the same will happen with Yemos Mashiach. So there's really another theme that we see in and another ingredient in the chalent of Geula, which is that in Geula there's always an individual, a Jewish leader that rises above and is looked at as this tremendous individual amongst the nations. Finally, there's one last aspect of Geula, and then we still have to answer the question of, so now can we understand to a deeper degree why there's a concept of Mismach Geula to Geula? So I'll try to explain that too. But the last concept that popped out to me while I was leaning was this pasuk in source number 15. So it says that the Jews kimu v'kiblu a Yehudim aleihem v'al zaram v'al kol novim aleihem v'lo yavor liyosu sim eishnei ayamim ha'ela kichsavam v'chizmanam v'chol shana v'shana. So the Jewish people accepted upon themselves and all the future generations and anyone who would come after that they would do these 2 days of Purim, kichsavam v'chizmanam, as they were written in their times in every year. So the pshat of the pasuk is that the Jews accepted Purim, and the holiday of Purim became known and accepted amongst the nation. But, however, there's a Gemara, Torah Tmima quotes it, famous Gemara, about the Jewish people in the time of Megillas Esther. It says, Kimu v'kiblu. So what does that mean, that they established and they accepted? Amar Rava, afal pi shemetchila kiblu Yisrael satorah b'chvia sahar kegigis. So when the Jews accepted the Torah by Sinai, so they were kind of forced into it, because Hashem, he took the mountain, Har Sinai, and he put it over their heads, and he said to them, if you don't accept the Torah, you're going to die, so you better accept it, and they chose to accept it. Smart move. But we say that the Jews accepted it again without the fear in the time of Achashverosh. So the Gemara in Shabbos makes this point that the Jewish people accepted the Torah not out of fear, out of an appreciation of the Nisim in the time of Achashverosh, but they did, and they were reaccepting the Torah. So let's just look at the Gemara, and then we'll try to define it, what I mean by this, and then we'll go back. So if you look in the Gemara over there in Shabbos, Daf Peches Amud Aleph, it says Vayisatu B'Tachtei Sahar. So Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa Melameid Shekafa Hakadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Esahar Kegigis. So Hashem took the har, the mountain, and he lifted it over them like a roof, like a ceiling. The Amar Lehem, Imatem Mekablim HaTorah Muta, V'im Lav, Sham Tehek V'Rascham. So Hashem said in a pretty blunt fashion, so if you accept the Torah, then that's great, and I'll put this mountain down, not on you. But if not, so that's where you're going to be buried, right underneath this Har Sinai. So the Jews opted to accept the Torah. So Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov, Mikan Moda Rabba Lo Raisa. But Rav Acha mentions that as a result of this type of Kabbalah of the Torah, the Jews had a caveat. They could claim that, you know, that they really didn't want to accept it. So look in the Rashi. He says, Takhti Sahar, Takha Sahar Mamish. So it's really the mountain itself was lifted over the Jewish people. Gigish Shematzilin Baschar. Sorry, Kuba, Kedera Gdola Shematzilin Baschar. Okay, so and then it says, Muda Rabba Sheim Yasminim Ladin Lamalo Kiyamta Mashiki Baltim Aleichem. If the Jews are brought to judgment and they're asked, why didn't you do what you accepted? Yeshlam tshuva shekiblu ba'onas. They could say, we didn't want to accept it. We were forced into it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what about in the times of Esther? So Amaravo, afo pichein, hador kablu abimeach ashverosh, tichsiv kimu v'kiblu ayudim, kimu mash kiblu kfar. So we see that the Jews accepted it again, and Rashi says in the last line, "B'me'ach Hashverosh me'avas anis shenase lehem." So this type of Kabbalah was not out of fear, but it was out of love of the Nisim and an appreciation of the Hashgachas Hashem. So the third ingredient of Geula is that after Geula, there seems to be a Kabbalah, you know, a reacceptance of the Torah or an acceptance in the first place. So you see that by Geulas Mitzrayim, the Jewish people, the outgrowth of Geula, the end point of Geula is accepting the Torah. And that was at Har Sinai. And we see the same thing by Megillas Esther, that the Jewish people, you know, accepted the Torah. And that seems to be a key ingredient of Geula, which is the reacceptance or the acceptance of the system of Torah. And L'Asad Lavo, the same, I would think the same would be the case, which is that the Jews will reaccept the system from a different framework, from the framework of, you know, after being taken out of Egypt or being saved. So they'll accept the Torah from a different framework, from a different perspective, a different frame of mind. So I just want to summarize up to now. Any questions, by the way, before I summarize, and then get back to the first question?
Yes, Rabbi
Ginsburg. Yeah.
I was always under the impression that we don't accept converts that convert because of any other reason other than, you know, love of the system.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And that's why Moshe was criticized for it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, and also, I think the Rambam talks about it by David's time, that they stopped accepting converts then because they recognized that they were just, they just wanted to be like the Jews, not because they really accepted the system. So you're asking kind of a separate question. Why did they accept the converts? My point is that people wanted to be like the Jews, and that was what was unique to Geula. Now, the question of whether or not the Jews should accept it, that's a separate question. You know, when you should accept converts, that's a different question. My point is that an aspect of Geula is that the Jews become attractive to the non-Jews, that the non-Jews now want to be like the Jews. They want to be part of the Jewish nation, whether it be genuine or just superficial. But regardless, it becomes an aspect of Geula. So, but it's a good question. You know, should they have accepted it? It doesn't seem like Mordechai was criticized over here in this situation. So maybe the non-Jews were more genuine. But yeah, it's a great question. But Moshe was criticized, and I think, like I said, the Rambam, I think, talks about it by David, that they wouldn't accept converts then for that reason.
So I think that's only an attribute.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only an attribute of the Geula.
Yeah, exactly. An attribute of the Geula is the concept that non-Jews will want to be with the Jews. They'll attempt to convert. Now, whether the Jews accept them is a different question, but I'm saying the attribute is that the Jews become this attractive nation now, and now the non-Jews want to be with them. They want to follow them. So we have three ingredients to the Geula that I think there's pretty strong parallels between Megillas Esther and Mitzrayim. One is the idea that we just said, which is that non-Jews will now have a different perception of the Jews, and they'll want to be with the Jews. They want to be like us. The second idea that seems to be in common is the Gedulas Mordechai and Gedulas Moshe, that these individuals, the leaders of the Geula, become gadol in the eyes of the non-Jews. So the same happened to Mordechai and the same happened to Moshe. And presumably, I would think that the same will happen in Geula Asida with Mashiach. And then the final idea in Geula that it seems to be unified is the concept of accepting the Torah, that following the Geula, there seems to be this acceptance. And we see that in both the Megillas Esther, where the Jews accepted the Torah again, and we see that by Mitzrayim, where that was the primary source. And presumably, again, in the times of Mashiach, there'll be a different type of acceptance of the Torah, maybe a renewed acceptance of the Torah. So now the question is, just go back to the first question. So what does the Gemara mean that there's a reason why we pick other Sheni? And the reason is because we want to be Somech Geula LeGeula. So what is that concept? So I'll just try to show you that there's definitely a deeper relationship between Geulas Mitzrayim and Geulas Megillas Esther, in the sense that there seems to be these really powerful psukim that parallel each other and show you some of the key ingredients of Geula. But I also think that there's just one more point, which is that the reason why we want to be Somech Geula the Geula is that the purpose and one of the goals of Klal Yisrael is to study Hashgachas Hashem. And being that ultimately Hashem provides chachma to the world, and And the way that we understand him is through his chachma, his wisdom, and what he presents to us in this world. When we can see that acts are not just individual, but we can see some type of universal, some type of concepts that reflect a system as opposed to just an individual act, in the minds, in human minds, it reflects more of a unique and chachma and a wisdom behind the creation. It's like the idea of looking for, you know, laws in nature, that we try to take all the particulars, and instead of recognizing or seeing them as particulars, we look for that one unified concept, the one universal law. And that seems to be the way that Hashem created the world. And it's the same way with Hashgacha, that it seems like there's systems of Hashgacha, there are laws to the Hashgacha. So when we're so mech gula le geula, so we can study geula not just as an individual event, but as a system. And I'm trying to show you through the shir that you can see that there is a system here, that it's not just that each geula is unique, but there seems to be a system of how geula works. And I just try to key in on the three aspects of the system that at least I have been able to draw out just from the psukim and the medrash, of course. So, but the three ideas that at least, you know, I was able to see through going through Megillas Esther were really the idea, the concept of how the Jews, the non-Jews perceived the Jews, and also how Mordechai and Moshe became great in the eyes of the non-Jews. And then finally, the idea of accepting the Torah. And so it answers the question that was always bothering me, which is, okay, fine. So it's like a nice concept to have gula la gula, but what is the real point? What's the purpose? The purpose is that we look at both. We look at Gulas Mitzrayim and Gulas Esther, like I just did, I think, and try to find and see if there's a system, if there's some universals that exist in the Hashgacha of Geula. So that's what I'm trying to present in the Shir tonight, at least from my perspective, what some of those universals are. I'm sure there's more in Megillas Esther and also Yetzias Mitzrayim and also Geula Asida. But again, our goal as learners are to try to view the same way we view the world as a byproduct of universals. So too, Hashgacha should be viewed in the same way. So that was really what I wanted to give Shira on tonight. So it's kind of early, but I think anybody have any questions or want to add to that? If you want me to lane for you, I'm feel free to ask. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
It's funny, but that you mentioned it. But you know, also in the Megillah, we mention Golas, because when Mordechai, when after the destruction of the Midrash, they were exiled.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the Megillah, you mention negative Hashgacha.
Yeah.
In the end of the Megillah, you mention positive Hashgacha.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I think that in order for Geula to take place, like Mitzrayim, it's kind of what you're saying. That's what the Haggadah says. You know, Maschil Begnosim Sayim B'Shelach. So that's also a principle of Geula. So the same thing with the Jews. At the very beginning, the Jews were Gola. They were Gola state. And now at the end, you say Mitzrayim B'Shelach. Look at the state of the Jews relative to now they're looked up to. Everyone wants to be with the Jews. Mordechai is the greatest, and they're reaccepting the Torah. So yeah, that's another feature of, definitely another feature of the Geula, another aspect of one of those laws of Geula.
No, but in other words, it's interesting that the Megillah sets up the same way as the Haggadah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's trying to show you what I just said, which is that there is the same structure of Geula, which is that you start from the bottom and you go all the way to the top. I think that's what you're saying, right? Yeah, okay. All right. So everyone, go ahead.
I want to come in. Okay, so in the time, the acceptance of the Torah, was that when the, when they did the Pesach thing? Not when, because I guess the saying that, acceptance in Purim was like a different type of, we're comparing that to the almost non-acceptance of Har Sinai, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so by Sinai. No, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was wondering if you would regard the accepting of Mitzrayim when they left Mitzrayim and they did the Pesach sacrifice, and then they went downhill from then, and then, then their acceptance wasn't so great. So it was like, was the same level of acceptance? It seems like it might be.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I'm not sure. I mean, I just wanted to add one point. You just reminded me of something. I think I heard this in a shir from Rabbi Chait about the idea of drinking on Purim. So one of the ideas of drinking is tied to the Kimu V'Kiblu, which is a reflection of how the Jews were able to accept the Torah in the time of Achashverosh and Mordechai without any conflict. So normally when there's something that's going to restrain us from doing mitzvos, restrain us from what we want to do, which would be like something like giving into our taiva. So it's hard for us to accept a system that's going to restrain us and that we'll feel constrained by. So I believe that the idea of getting drunk, at least according to what I remember from Ashir, is that being drunk is a state where a person's not really restricted. They're not feeling that conflict, and they can accept, just like the Jews accepted the Torah, they can be in that state. Of course, the Jews weren't drunk when they accepted the Torah, re-accepted it, but it's a reflection of the state of having no conflict. And that's what one of the ideas of drinking on Purim is. So aside from us reenacting what the Jews did back then, which I'm sure when they're happy, they were drinking, but it's also a concept of reflecting on accepting the Torah without conflict. And that's what the Jews were able to do. So yeah, it was a different type of acceptance. The Jews still had conflict, even though they were nigal from Mitzrayim. When they were told about arayos and they were told about mitzvos, I'm sure that there was conflict there, and that's why they had to be forced into it. But in the times of Achashverosh, I think it was conflict-free because they really saw the nace, and it was such a happy time that they really had no conflict with regard to keeping mitzvos. So I think that's an idea that I remember. So everyone, thank you so much for the calling in tonight, and I hope everyone has a great Purim, Freilichen Purim, and enjoy yourself.